Welcome to the podcast of William Patterson University's chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists, or WPSPJ, where voices from the news industry guide us and inspire our future. On this podcast, we'll spotlight the activities of the nationally recognized Society of Professional Journalists chapter at William Patterson University in Wayne, New Jersey. We are the reporters of today and tomorrow, committed to SPJ's mission of diversity and democracy, and inspiring successive generations of talented individuals to become dedicated journalists.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the WPSPJ podcast. I'm your host, Tommy Sherwood, the editor-in-chief of The Beacon and the executive producer of the WPSPJ podcast. I am joined here by the vice president of our SPJ chapter, Patrick Groh. How you doing, man?
Hey, good, Tommy. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, man, of course. We went to shadow some sports writers at a Devils game. So before I really get into our experience, I just want to thank sports writer Matt Blitner, who is an NHL columnist for Sportsology.com. He really made all this happen. We shadowed him. We talked to him. He gave us some great advice, along with a lot of the other journalists that he knows.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, that Devils game was truly a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and it was a great opportunity for our club, SPJ, to be a part of that. And as well, I'd like to thank the reporters and writers like Christy Flannery, Mike Morale, and Matthew Blitner for an amazing learning opportunity to be able to learn some really valuable advice. And we got to interview more people than we originally intended, and I think one of the most important things I learned from that was kind of like, being prepared and doing your homework, because, the people, it was getting the tour of Prudential Center, sitting in that press box, seeing the players come out of the locker room and being in the locker room after, the game. Those were all experiences I literally will never forget. And I became a hockey fan that night.
Yeah, I got to say, I've always enjoyed watching hockey. It's an entertaining game. Like Dr. Hershon, he got to meet the New Jersey Devil.
Yeah, seeing the players come out of the tunnel before the game, coming out of the locker room before the game, that was really cool. And then, like you said, Professor Hershon getting the chance to meet the Jersey Devil and then being in the locker room after the game, what an experience. I've never been in a professional team locker room before. It was incredible.
Yeah, I've been an athlete for a majority of my life, and I even got to say I've never been in a professional locker room like that. And that was a great experience, watching the players get interviewed. I always see that on TV. Like, I see a lot of the star players getting interviewed, in the locker room after the game, and just seeing the reporter surrounding them. And being able to actually see that in person and live was a great experience for me. And just getting to see further of what these writers do was a really great experience. Because what they are doing is where I want to be in 5 years from now, 4 or 5 years from now. Where they are is where I want to be. So getting to see that, getting to picture myself doing that and living kind of in their shoes, it was a great experience. Yeah, so let's get down to business with some of this advice that we learned from the journalists that we interviewed. So the first person that I'm going to bring up is James Nichols. He's the editor-in-chief of New Jersey Hockey Now. He had a lot to say. We actually talked to him in the first intermission, and he was truly, truly great. I mean, I talked to him for about 20 minutes.
Write as much as you can. That's how I started. I, obviously went to school for journalism, and even while I was in school, just taking as many jobs and internships that I could in the industry and networking while doing so with as many people as I could to just, talk to as many people as I could about the industry and the ins and the outs, what to do and what not to do, and all while talking about, the best practices to do while in the industry as well. So really just write as much as you can.
Just keep writing. And that's something our professors constantly preach to us at William Patterson. And our advisor for The Beacon, Wesley Wright, it's kind of like a muscle. The more you work it, the more it's going to grow, the stronger it's going to get. And that's just the case with writing, especially in a news setting. You got to just keep working at it, because that's the only way you're going to get better at it.
Yeah, this quote speaks about how just doing something a lot will make you better at it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if it's playing a sport like hockey or writing about hockey, the more you do something, and the better and more comfortable you become at it. And this relates to the advice we received about, expanding our portfolio as much as we can and connecting with as many people as possible, because you never know who could help or impact you in life. So, and a quote like my mom used to always say, life is truly a contact sport. The more contacts and connections you make, the more possibilities mm-hmm. there are.
Yeah. And what's really important about writing also is because it builds your portfolio, like you said. You know, when you're applying for jobs, when you're applying for scholarships and internships, they're going to ask you, where's your clips? You know, whether it's being a part of a podcast, whether it's just a written article, a press release, a radio show, you got to have clips to show that I can do this, because there's so much competition out there in the news industry where, one, you got to know people, and two, you got to actually show that you can do it. And you're never going to find a job also just out of college, no extracurriculars, just class. That's not going to get you anywhere. We actually spoke to Ryan Nobuzinski from NJ.com or the Star Ledger, and he actually spoke on that. And he also showed me some internship opportunities at the Star Ledger, which I really appreciated. So let's hear what he had to say.
You know, when you're a young journalist and you have opportunities like this where you can be in the press box, or you can send out an email to someone to interview them and talk to a publicist or someone like that, you can talk to you'd be surprised where you can get with just a simple email, whether that's getting credential for a game or interviewing somebody. The playing field is level, so don't be afraid to shoot your professional shot.
That's so important, to just not be afraid to kind of shoot your shot and just network with people, because it truly is about who you know. It is also about what you know, but it's so important who you know, and when you make those connections, that can really lead to a job, like in this case where now I have an internship opportunity and I could say, hey, I know someone from that newsroom.
Absolutely. That was a great quote. I think it really touches the idea of just understanding that people are very willing and accepting and more kind than we think. Other people want to see you succeed in life, because more than likely they were in the same position as the person asking the question was.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants that one opportunity and a chance to break through, and everybody loves the feeling of being that connection that can positively change or impact someone's career. The worst a person can say is no, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I think just putting yourself out there is important, and like the saying goes, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. Speak up and ask for what you want.
All right, so moving on from that, we actually spoke to Mike Morrell of NHL.com, and we actually had like a 10-minute conversation with him, and he was a little pressed for time because obviously this was right before the game. He's trying to cover the game for his news outlet. So
I'm really grateful that he
took the time out of his day to speak to us. So I sincerely appreciate that. So let's hear what he had to say.
And I wanted to kind of expand and not just focus on sports that I enjoyed, like basketball or hockey or football. I wanted to write about fencing, maybe volleyball, sports that I'm not accustomed to writing about. So this way it gives you more of a wide range if someone's looking to hire, hey, we don't have someone to do this, so maybe you can come in, help us out with this, and then when there is an opening for basketball or football or hockey, we'll give you that opportunity. Funny thing is when I started out, I started out at the Star Ledger. I was the high school reporter there. But when I was first hired, they told me, Mike, we know you like sports, you want to be in the sports department, but we're not starting you there. And I'm thinking to myself, what's this going to look like? And he said to me, you're going to start in a death notice obituary department. And I looked at him, I was like, wow. I never expected something like that. But he says, listen, he goes, it'll be an experience for you, he says, but if you can write an obituary, you could write anything. And it was true.
This could not be more true. One funny thing that he actually brought up is, if you could write an obituary, you could write anything. And I found that particularly funny because in my journalism and news writing class, we had an obituary assignment, and we had to write an obituary on a celebrity that was still alive, and just find, like, do a lot of research on them. And And he even said, I'm giving you this assignment because if you can write an obituary, you could write basically anything, which I'll be honest, it was difficult talking about someone being deceased, especially when they weren't. Like, that was a little strange for me. Mm-hmm. But I can only imagine just interviewing families and talking with families about their loved one that just passed away. Like, that's got to be a hard thing to do, and it's got to really just – it's got to be difficult.
Yeah, I remember doing that assignment with Dr. Hirschon in Intro to Journalism class last semester. We wrote an obituary, and that was actually a pretty unique assignment. I realized that obituaries aren't actually about death, but about, like, the person's life.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual act of writing the obituary was challenging, but I thought in a good way. And when yep. Mike Morrell made that quote, I really resonated with that, because I think writing an obituary teaches lessons that anything or anyone has a story worth telling. And it's intended to inform but also capture who that person really was, which can translate into covering any kind of player or sport at any level for a sports reporter. So
yeah, and also going back to what I was saying before about, like, interviewing the families, it allows you to have, like, more, how do I say it, like, personal, like, be more personal with people.
Sure.
And that allows you to really be a great journalist. That's how you get to be a good reporter, just being personal with some of these athletes. And, like, if you're covering sports, being personal with them, it's going to make them want to have an interview with you and have good interactions with you. And that's the key, because when someone looks at a report and, like, I don't want to be interviewed by them, they're not going to give you the best answers. When they're like, oh, yes, I get to be interviewed by this reporter, I really like him, he's a good guy or girl, that just makes it more likely for them to give you better answers and get the quote, like we talked about in the Seton Hall podcast, get the quote, not just a quote, the quote.
Absolutely.
So we also talked with Mike Morrell about time management, which I actually asked this question because I'm struggling with it, with my classes, with podcasts, with the radio, with writing for the newspaper. It's and having a part-time job on top of all that, it's pretty difficult, I gotta say. I'm getting through it, obviously, but I just really wanted some advice from a professional, like, about this, like, particular thing. And I just wanted to know, like, what a professional would do in the situation that I'm in. So let's hear what Mike Morrell had to say.
Hey, it's kind of like when you have, in my instance, like right now, there's probably like four or five assignments that are on my plate in addition to doing the game result here tonight. And it's just a matter of managing yourself, making lists for yourself, what you want to do at a particular time during the course of the day. I find that if when you write stuff down, when you kind of put a structure together on what your priorities are for what you need to get accomplished, you'll get it done. It's going to take some time, but eventually you're going to get it done because you have to, right? That's you know you have to get it done because it's something people depend on you, and that's how I look at it.
Yeah, this is absolutely right, and I could definitely connect to this. You get it done because you have to, and I was actually asked because I played football last semester for our university, and I was asked by some of our professors, like, how do you manage all this? And I looked at them and I said, because I have to. What other choice do I have? Like, to crawl up in a ball and, mm-hmm. you know, just hide and not do anything? No, I have to manage it. And just being under that kind of pressure, I handle pressure pretty well, I feel like. So being in that situation, it was like, okay, you know, this is a challenge. I have until 4 o'clock every single day to get my work done that I got to do, including my classes. So how am I going to do it? How am I going to manage my time well enough where I can do all this at once? And I managed to do it. I was on the dean's list last semester while playing a sport, which was one of my most proudest accomplishments. So, you know, it's you got to do it because you got to do it.
Yeah, when you have your priorities straight, it helps increase productivity and allows you to get more done. It, you know, you can help clarify your own goals and understand what task might be more important than others in a particular moment. And, you know, as a result of this, people can achieve more tasks efficiently. Yeah, I think time management really becomes important the older you get. I think you kind of start learning that a little bit in high school, but definitely in college. The only way to really survive college is to manage your time.
Yeah.
And we'll even learn more about that as we go into our profession.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because high school, it's like there's a block of time that you have school. It's from 7 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. That's when you have school, and then you do your homework. In college, it's different. It's like where you have your classes, like whenever you pick out when your classes are, so you have to really manage your, like, you're managing every single minute of your day. And that's what it's going to have to be like in your professional life.
Yeah, there'll be like a 2-week stretch in college where it'll feel like you don't even have anything to do. Like there's nothing due, or you know what I mean? And then like out of nowhere, it'll be like 4 or 5 assignments due at the same time. And I think that right there exemplifies like the importance of time management. Even when there isn't something to do, there's always something to do.
Exactly. And I call those weeks where there's nothing much to do the eye of the storm. Have you ever heard of the eye of the hurricane?
Sure.
Where it's like it seems nice,
right,
but then it like unexpectedly just the rain starts pouring on you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how college is like, you really, like, if you're not structuring your time well enough, like even when you do have those breaks, like during spring break, I'm still doing assignments. I'm catching up on some work. I don't just stop working because I don't have class. There's no reason for that. I'd rather get ahead now and suffer working now than have the end of semester roll around and have all these assignments piled up. And I'm like, shoot, I can't do all this. So that's what's going through my head during those eyes of the storm, as I call it. I make sure I'm doing at least some sort of work so I'm not like in a cram for time when the semester is about to end.
Yeah, college really molds you for time management. College teaches time management the most, I think.
Yeah, and it doesn't just teach time management, it makes you do it.
Yeah.
Which that's how I learned. I didn't learn in high school how to manage my time. I learned through college how to manage my time because I'm like, shoot, I actually got to do this now. Like I got to get my stuff together and make sure that I get my assignments done. So with that being said, you've reached the end of the WPSBJ podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And make sure you follow us on social media, Instagram and X, at WPSPJ.
Thanks for listening to the WPSPJ podcast. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram and Twitter at WPSPJ. Be sure to subscribe and rate our podcast on Apple. Until next time, we are SPJ.